Now we shall come to the last part of the first chapter. All right, this is the revision of the first part. Now we have a very important statement, like a comment. As I said, Sri Aurobindo has proved that aspiration for God, light, freedom, immortality is justified on three grounds, on all the three grounds, on the grounds of reason, on the grounds of instinct, on the grounds of intuition. On all the three grounds, this aspiration is justified. It's already proved now, QED. What was to be proved in the beginning has been proved. Now only comes a comment. Attempts are sometimes made to have done finally with questionings which have so often been declared insoluble by logical thought, and to persuade men to limit their mental activities to the practical and immediate problems of their material existence in the universe. But such evasions are never permanent in their effect. We shall dwell upon this very important statement. You remember I had read out to you many, many days ago a statement from the book of Bertrand Russell. I'll paraphrase that sentence because I don't have the exact quotation. He says, while declaring his own philosophy and the philosophy of his own friends, he says, we acknowledge that there are many problems which we cannot answer. We admit that there are many problems which we cannot answer. But we refuse to believe that there is any other higher method of knowledge by which you can answer these questions. I don't know if you remember, if you recall this sentence I read out to you. I repeat, we acknowledge that there are many problems which cannot be answered. But we refuse to believe that there are any other means or higher means of knowledge by which these questions can be answered. In other words, it's a paraphrase of what Sri Aurobindo has written here. Attempts are being made to stop all questionings, to do finally with all questionings. What Russell says ultimately is, we know there are many problems, but they cannot be solved. So now his conclusion is, therefore, remain bound to your insolubility of the problems and deal with all that you can deal with your limitations. We refuse to believe there is another other means of knowing by which you can solve the problems. So his gospel is, deal with the problems of the immediate world as they come to you. Never have the ambition that you can ever solve these problems. Some practical problems here and there you can solve. They don't require any higher means of knowledge. But some questions, they only remain as questions, you cannot answer them. So Bertrand Russell says, in effect, do not go beyond a certain level of questioning. They will never be found to have an answer. They are logically insoluble. And there is no other method. If logically insoluble, and if there is another method of knowing, then you may find a solution. But he says, no, there is no, we refuse to believe. You see the dogmatism, how much it comes about. It's a dogmatism. We refuse to believe that there is any other method of knowledge. They seem to be opposed to all obscurantism. You know, obscurantism means what? What is obscurantism? It comes from the word obscure. Obscure is unclear. That which is unclear is obscure. So obscure is opposite to clarity. So those who believe in clarity, they always criticize and say, oh, this is obscure. Whenever there is something which is presented to them, it's not very clear, they say it is obscure. And if you believe in obscure, then they say you are obscurantist. You believe that which is obscure. You never try to clarify to yourself. So these people like Russell and others, they believe that we are devotees of clarity. And you all people who believe in such things like spirit, God, it's all obscure. Therefore, you are obscurantists. But when they say, we refuse to believe, what does it mean? We refuse to believe means you take shelter into that which is obscure. So while they condemn others as obscurantists, they themselves are obscurantists. They advocate inquiry, but they refuse to inquire themselves. So Sri Aurobindo refers to this particular tendency in the modern times. Whenever you speak of God, light, freedom, immortality, these people will come to you and say, oh, you are obscure, because what is God? Unclear. What is light? Unclear. What is freedom? Unclear. What is immortality? Unclear. And yet you believe in it, therefore you are obscurantist. But what about you? They will admit, we also find that this is not easily understandable. But we refuse to believe that there is any other way of becoming clear. How do you know how do you refuse? On what ground do you refuse? Have you tried? Without trying to find other means of knowledge, they declare in the advance, we refuse to believe there is any other method of knowing. It is this attitude which is very prevalent today in the world, very prevalent. You'll come across this as soon as you move out of this classroom. You will come across this attitude immediately. They will condemn you as obscurantist without realizing that in doing so, they are themselves obscurantists because they refuse to inquire even. So Sri Aurobindo says, attempts are sometimes made to have done finally with questionings which have so often been declared insoluble by logical thought. And they persuade men to limit their mental activities to the practical and immediate problems of their material existence in the universe. They ask you not to rise into flights of questions of which there is no answer possible. They say, you ask such questions of which I have an answer. But these evasions, such evasions, are never permanent in their effect. If you try to remain in this refusal, you will find that gradually you will be bound to cross the limits of this. Sri Aurobindo says, mankind returns from them. As you move forward, humanity returns from this kind of denial with a more vehement impulse of inquiry. We now begin to question Bertrand Russell and others. My dear friends, you have simply refused to inquire. Let us inquire. So there is a fresh impulse to inquire. And with that fresh impulse of inquiry, this attempt of denial is crushed. And then there is a more violent hunger for an immediate solution. So when you deny to inquire, for some time it may work because it's a very soothing thing. For some time, when some people say, now don't bother, don't ask many questions, you can go to sleep, which is very nice for some time. But that is only for a short time. A time will come when the questions will bombard you, in fact, with come a tremendous vehemence. Not only vehemence, but they want immediate answers. They come with an immediate necessity to answer. Take, for example, a question of a father and mother and a child. The child is told sometimes, do this, don't do that, etc., etc., which is the normal case. All parents have the habit of telling children, do this, don't do that. Then the child goes into revolt and says, now don't tell me anything. At night, the father has told the child, be moderate in eating. Don't be a glutton. Don't eat too much. But the child has done it. The father has been told by the child, now don't tell me anything. I want to eat. I will eat. At night you wake up with a tremendous pain in the stomach. And then what do? You want immediate solution. You had stopped questioning. You had done very well what you did, wanted to do. You have gone to sleep nicely. In the middle of night there is a tremendous pain. And you want immediate solution. Now you can't wait because pain is so great. You want immediate solution. Such is the condition of humanity today.